Welcome to Live Well, Be Well, a show to help high performers improve their health and well-being. This is an excerpt from my conversation with trauma psychotherapist, Dr. Mariel Bouquet. The link to the full episode is in the description. Every time I'm triggered, there's a deeper emotional response there, and that's the trauma response. But then you said something around, you know, we're just not taught on how to cope with trauma. What strategies would you advise if somebody is being triggered in that moment? How can they cope through that trauma?
The best way that I have figured out how to help people through traumatic experiences where a trigger is present is to always go right back to the body, because we have to understand triggers in order to understand the approach. A trigger is situated in our bodies. Our brains and our nervous system are literally responding to a cue from our environment, whether it's external or internal, that something doesn't feel safe, and our bodies literally armor up. That's what a trigger is. When we feel that sense of discomfort, that physical discomfort, when somebody says something, we smell someone's perfume, you know, all the multiple ways in which triggers can surface, it's our body, in essence, tensing up and preparing us for a perceived threat. So if it is our body that is mostly implicated in the process of a trigger, it makes the most sense to go into the body and help it to relax. My biggest skill or category of skill set that I use in my therapeutic practice, that I use within the book, are skills that are geared towards helping us to relax our nervous system in the moments when our nervous system is feeling overactive.
I could not kind of relate more to what you're saying, even just from a personal sense. I know as soon as I'm stressed, I have stomach problems. Chapter 3 is all dedicated to this. I have to say it's like one of my favorite chapters within your book on how the mind and body is so integrated. And you touch upon, obviously, Western medicine has not integrated these two approaches. And I even remember reading a stat where it said an estimated 60 to 80% of primary care visits are a result of an underlying stress condition. And that's so much due to our minds. And when I read that, I thought, well, that's a stat, but that's a huge percentage in relation there. And then I kind of read about where it could manifest. And you said a toxic relationship could feel like IBS. Grief is directed at the lungs. And as I'm reading this, I just think, wow, so much of us are going through maybe different types of chronic pain, yet we're not having this link to the stress-related conditions that this is creating. So how does trauma get processed in the body as a memory? Because you've written a lot about this in this chapter, and I found this really fascinating, the physical manifestations that can happen due to trauma.
There's so many ways. There are a host of different ways in which, you know, trauma tends to start eating away at the body, wearing it down, and then eventually developing into chronic conditions. And so, you know, some of the more milder ways in which we, and I say milder, even though, you know, many of us don't experience these experiences as mild, but some of the milder ways in which we tend to basically inhabit stress inside of our bodies is by way of, like, you know, experiencing migraines, experiencing gastrointestinal discomfort, experiencing, you know, a chronic tension on our shoulders. And so these are places where our bodies then experience discomfort, but isn't necessarily the, you know, ways in which our bodies are in essence, like, in chronic fatigue. When we experience stress and trauma in a more long-standing form, our bodies start registering that, and that starts to become the norm. Our bodies start to wear down, and our body's capacity to fight off disease, infection, to fight off any other kind of, like, ways in which it kind of eats at itself, all of that starts breaking down. We start not being able to really kind of, like, fight off anything that is trying to make us unwell. And in come a lot of chronic diseases, in come metabolic diseases, right? diabetes is very much implicated in long-standing generational chronic stress and trauma. We tend to see diabetes as like running down family lines and not realizing that what's really running down family lines is trauma responses that are going on unaddressed that are impacting, you know, the ways that we're metabolizing blood sugar. The same goes for autoimmune conditions, which have been very widely correlated to the stress response inside of the body. There have been studies that have actually like mapped experiences regarding autoimmune conditions like lupus back to the experiences that we have growing up of not having warm and embracing and nourishing and kind and loving caregivers. There have been studies that have been conducted around autoimmune conditions and childhood adversity, just a global adversity that, you know, a global categories of adversity that we can experience in childhood. And the same goes for even some cancers that have been mapped back to conditions that we experience, particularly early in childhood. But there's so many correlates. And then when we enter these, you know, offices where there's a specialist that is a cardiologist or a gastroenterologist or a neurologist, we're entering all of these spaces wondering about a specific ailment, a specific system. And none of these individuals are really there helping us to understand how stress is implicated in the ways that disease is manifesting inside of our bodies.
Honestly, Mario, I wish I met you when I was 21. There's so much to be said about what you just said about these incredible doctors, but all very specialist in one field. My listeners might have heard this or heard me talk about this before, but it's something that when I was in my early 20s, my whole body went into shutdown. And I had kind of my kidneys stopped working. I had sepsis. I had E. coli. I had 5 burst cysts. You know, I was in intensive care for 3 months. And a lot of that was a huge buildup of, one, a dissociation from my body. But you know, I was going to see different specialists and they couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And it was all very separated. And then it wasn't until obviously enough was enough and my whole body just decided to kind of shut down on itself. And that's, I think, why I'm so connected to your book, because you really map out the system of how it does just inherit within our body, but how actually even just going to therapy and thinking about just maybe us or our child or how we react, it can be so much more deeper than that. It can be so much more extended than that. And that's what's so beautiful about bringing the term up, which we've not come to yet, but which is intergenerational trauma. Now, many people listening to this might not have heard of that term before, might not be aware of it, might be quite confused that a symptom, a trigger, a response might not even just be from their relationship with their parents. It could be even further back than that. So could you kind of just give us a bit of a, I want to say a top line, I mean the whole book is on this, but kind of an introduction into how can we understand intergenerational trauma, because it's quite a big one, isn't it? It's quite a big thing to kind of go, well, this could even be out of my control, and now I'm realizing this isn't solely on just how I've acted and the responses that I'm having.
One thing that I'd like to note, because what you just said is actually the general narrative that we tend to have about intergenerational trauma and that I myself have also internalized, which is that something that happened so long ago and that is so layered and that was...
Thanks so much for listening. To hear the full episode, there's a link in the description.